Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you, like I'm feeling you.
Yeah, everybody freeze, put your hands up. We ain't about to take it easy, I hope your cake's up. London with the beach, yeah, we go so in. Then we girl with a friend, yeah, we both win. Hotel chilling, yeah, she's sweet. Got the pain and the koozie up in the suite. Taking pics with the side chick, ooh, delete. I bet you wondering how I keep it all so neat. Yeah, back in the days, 14 years. Going up, London town, yes, no fears. Went on a vacay, yes, it was a teaser. Later found out she was going to a visa.
Hi, guys, and welcome back to a day of celebration, a podcast of celebration. COVID is officially over because Vanderpump Rules is back.
That's how it works.
It is how it works. Like, I feel a weight lifted off my shoulders as of last night.
Yeah, I feel the same way, honestly.
It was like a joy to behold. I obviously have a lot of thoughts. And with me today is friend of the pod, Julia Hava.
Hi, everybody. I'm so excited and honestly honored to be on the first episode of the season. Like, it's an honor, truly.
I'm excited to have you, and the honor is truly mine because you started your own podcast during quarantine, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay, called Binchtopia.
Yeah, my podcast is called Binchtopia. We don't talk about Vanderpump Rules, but I did mention on today's episode that I will be talking about Vanderpump Rules on SUP. So
I love it. The synergy is happening.
The synergy.
People need more podcasts in their life, so I'm glad that you took up the cause.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts, like, just like, generally, how are you feeling about this season so far based on this episode?
I mean, I'm feeling really sad that some of the cast members got kicked off for their comments because although I do support, you know, social justice, I do think that the whole of Vanderpump Rules is just like terrible people doing terrible things.
Yeah.
So for my entertainment, I'm sad that Jax and Stassi and Kristen are no longer going to be on the show.
I have to agree with you.
Yeah.
I didn't find myself really missing them in last night's episode, but I feel like their presence will be, the loss of their presence will be felt throughout the season. And I really think that the best way to have handled this situation would have been to rehire Faith as like a cast member.
Mm-hmm.
She could align with Sheena, Ariana. Like, she already had friendships with some of the cast. Then keep Stassi, Kristen, Jax, and Brittany on and make them pay for their sins.
Yeah.
And then fire Jax and Brittany mid-season.
Yeah.
And or like just keep a threat over Stassi's head and Kristen's just to make them extra crazy and work really hard and let the audience like live that.
And what I was most disappointed by is just like, it was actually a cosmic event when all of them had babies at the exact same time. Like, nobody could have prepared me for that.
No.
It's so funny because I was listening to the Last Sup episode that I was on, which we literally recorded 1 week before lockdown happened. Yes.
Oh, my God.
And I was listening to it and we were like, what's the deal with, like, this coronavirus thing? Like, we were like, are we supposed to? And then you were like, yeah, just, like, wash your hands. And I was like, yeah, we really just need to wash our hands. That's all we can do.
Two dumb bitches talking about COVID.
Yeah.
Which sent us into, like, I think I've been dissociating for the past 18 months and have finally come out of a fugue. Like, I open and shut my mouth and sounds come out and then I upload those to the internet. But aside from that, I don't know what the fuck I've been
doing. No, when I record my podcast, I black out immediately after recording it. And then it just goes up.
Yeah, I tune in. I'm really, like, only present in my life for maybe 6 hours a week.
That's all you need, honestly.
It is. It's worked out well so far.
Yeah, but in that last episode, we were talking about what's next for the cast, and we were talking about how, like, one of them has to have a baby. Like, that needs to happen next. And nobody could have predicted that, like, four of them would have, right? It's Stassi, Sheena,
yeah,
Brittany. Lala, and Brittany.
Yeah.
Four of them at the same time.
That picture that they posted where they were all at the Grove holding their spawn, I truly was ice chilled to the bone inside, but I was like, I would watch endless hours of them navigating motherhood together. And I feel like we're being robbed of that.
That's exactly how I feel. Like, I really, but I mean, now that they have children, I'm sure they don't. I mean, they definitely want to, like, exploit their children for fame and money.
Yeah.
But I feel like they don't want to act as crazy in front of their children. But I would take one of the, like, I don't know, like, they take motherhood. Like, the girls of Vanderpump Rules take motherhood. I really want to see Jax's reaction to his son being born and, like, his supposed transformation into, like, a good father. Like, there's a lot that I'm wondering about. And also, like, I feel like they're not allowed to mention them on the show.
I don't think they are.
So they can't be like, oh, yeah, like, Jackson, we're going to Jackson Brittany's, because, like, they just have to pretend they don't exist.
I don't think they're even allowed to really say what happened.
Yeah.
Or even allude to that.
Which kind of goes against the point of, like, why they were kicked off in the first place.
Yeah, it's so insane. Yeah. And I don't know if they're ever going to acknowledge it on the show. I was trying to, like, pick Ariana's brain when she was at our live show to, like, get a sense. And it just seemed like they either have to kind of speak about it in code when asked about it on camera, but they can't be, like, talk about the great scandal that reverberated throughout the Vanderpump Rules community.
But they're clearly still friends.
Yeah, I think Lala hangs out only with, like, all the fired people, which makes her presence on the show that much more awkward.
Exactly.
But she's also sober, so that's a weird element. Like, she's, I think, the only truly sober person now.
James is California sober as...
and on some sort of workout pill, pre-workout pill.
That makes him rage out. Who knows what? And then, like, Max just being like, pre-workout doesn't do that to you. And James is like, we both took a pill. It's like, is that code for another pill that you were taking? Like, what?
Yeah,
pill?
Like, what's the pill?
What's
drop
the pill?
The name. Drop the stats, because I'm interested.
Is the pill Adderall? Is that the pill that you were taking? It's interesting because James is apparently sober, whatever, whatever. Like, who knows if that's true. But, like, clearly his rage is, like, not even alcohol-induced. Like, he's just like that.
He's an angry guy.
He's an angry guy.
It's because of his family, I'm pretty sure.
And so is Lala. She's an angry girl.
They are meant for each other.
They are.
It's really tragic that James and Lala couldn't figure out their love story.
It really
because
is.
They are and have always been twin flames.
And I love that Raquel also was like, I told James, there was an ultimatum, stop drinking or we break up, and then he stopped. And it's like, I don't think he really stopped.
Yeah, and he also, it's not like he changed his lifestyle or life. He
or,
still,
like,
does all the same
you.
Thing. Yeah, he still is smoking weed every single day.
Yeah.
But if I had to pick between interacting with, like, a very drunk person or a stone person, I would pick the stone person.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
It didn't seem to calm him down.
It was
all.
He's not taking his CBD. There's no CBD in his system.
Let's get into this episode.
Yes.
It begins with a gorgeous day in West Hollywood. And I just have to ask you, what do you do if you see the Toms hurtling towards you in matching sweaters on their motorcycle?
They love being on a motorcycle.
They love this, like, gayness of matching sweaters in a sidecar.
Yeah, and they were showing up to Tom Tom like it was, like, I don't know, the Oscars. And it's like, we've all been there. Like, it's not... I'll remind you, once again, I experienced a fairly large earthquake in Tom Tom.
Oh, my God.
I think I told you about that.
You probably
but
did.
I don't know if the viewers know, but I... There was one summer, a couple summers ago, where there was a huge earthquake in LA.
Were there two earthquakes?
Yes. And I was in Tom Tom for the second one. And like all the glass like was rattling above me. And I was like, if I fucking die in Tom Tom, like that would be the biggest troll of all time. Because it's not a classy place.
It's not a classy place. And it is guaranteed instant death in like a 6 point and higher earthquake.
But they're opening another bar. Tom Tom isn't enough for them.
No,
they're thirsty for more.
Have to expand. And it's, I like that it's not under Lisa's empire of restaurants, but I also worry that it's not, because she reels them in. And unreeled, it seems like they could go off the rails.
It's unclear how much work they actually do for Tom Tom. But I don't think much.
I think they just put money into it.
Yeah.
And then...
Lisa scams them into giving their money.
They each put... I revisited the episode where they said how much money they put in. They put $100,000 each.
That's crazy.
Right?
That's...
And they... It uses their name.
You own 1% of the bar.
Yeah. Like, name and likeness. I guess it probably made its money back. But I also don't know. I was like, this is sketchy as fuck.
Yeah. Lisa is sketchy. She's been known to burn down her restaurants and do all sorts of scams. So.
I'm a Lisa Firestarter truther.
Yeah.
Have been since the jump.
You have been. That's so true.
I will never not fight for justice for her insurance scams.
For her insurance scams.
But so, the Toms are opening their own place, and Tom Sandoval described it. The interior, the vibe that he's going for is if James Turrell, the light artist, went over to his grandma's house and took some acid.
He was describing it as psychedelic, I think. That was like a word that he used.
I'm cool with that, I think.
Me too, but I don't really trust them to like honor like a psychedelic aesthetic. I feel like that requires like some knowledge of like, I don't know, design history and... From their homes, you can see they're really hitting like the target section of home
and
beauty.
I could see it coming out looking like the set of Austin Powers.
Yeah, that's the best that they could do.
Mm-hmm.
They would be like, all the waiters would have to dress in like Austin Powers suits or like the sex doll outfit. What is she called again? Fembot.
The Fembot.
Yeah.
It's Austin Powers waiters and Fembot waitresses.
You can totally see Tom Sandoval dressed as Fembot. And the other
like
Tom dressed
and
as
he would look
Austin
really
Powers.
Good. Yeah.
He loves a wig.
He lives for a wig.
Any chance he has to throw on a wig, he'll throw one on.
He really kills any drag that he does.
Yeah.
He kills it. And now that I'm thinking about it, the double booth that he's describing is extreme Austin Powers energy.
It is, yeah. And they want to call it something like Tom and Tommy's. What do they want to call it?
Schwartz and Sandy's.
It sounds like a Crab Shack moment. Like, it sounds like one of those, like, ramshackle things on the beach where it's like, oh, Schwartz and Sandy's. Like they put an American flag in the burger. Like, that kind of moment.
Yeah, and it's, like, really fairly priced, but there's always a long line.
Yeah.
Like, you have to wait for at least 45 minutes to get your food.
And Katie is very against that name.
I'm curious about Katie's involvement in this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want her to be involved.
Yeah.
It's interesting to circle back and realize that I still feel the same way about Katie Maloney.
Yeah, you've always felt the same way about Katie, and it's that you want her to suffer.
I live for her suffering, and it's like, actually, I think she just does suffer every day is a day of suffering.
The thing is, like, you don't even have to manifest that for her because she will create her own suffering.
She'll do it to herself, and she did it in the form of this new haircut that she has, which... upon seeing the back of it, I was like, why?
So I was watching it with my roommate, and my roommate said that she bears such a close resemblance to her grandmother's hospice nurse in Kansas City, Missouri. She was like, I'm not kidding. Like, when I was visiting my grandmother in hospice, like, the nurse looked exactly like Katie. Like, it's that. It's hospice nurse core.
It is. She'd look great in some scrubs and Crocs.
It was just, it looks like... There's this whole, honestly, I was watching like Salt Lake City too. And the one, I can't remember her name, but the one who's always mad because like her like son is being called homophobic slurs.
Meredith.
Like, she also has this very blunt haircut that like Katie's also going for, and it doesn't look good.
I think Meredith's looks better hair is more thinned out. Like, Katie's hair has such natural volume.
Yes.
That it doesn't. It goes full just Karen hair if you cut it too short.
And speaking of volume, I watched Malignant after you guys talked about it on the podcast. And I had already, I'm the kind of person who likes to read like the plots of scary movies before I see them, because otherwise I'll get too scared. And so the whole time I was watching it, I was just thinking about her wig. And I was like, the volume at the back of the wig is also what Katie is going for. It's like a huge wig.
Yeah, she should have just gone like Malignant hair.
Yeah.
For season whatever we're on.
Yeah, I mean, angry anymore. Blackout, like, Katie is actually just on the back of her head.
She is Gabriel. What if she was the inspiration for Malignant?
I wish that, and here's the thing, like, I don't want to shame women because, like, I love women, but, like, Tom Schwartz is just so much hotter than her, and it's just, like, I don't mean to be mean about that, but it's, like, she just, it's, like, it's not about her as a person, it's, like, well, I don't know. She doesn't have the most, like, dazzling personality. But, like, it's the haircut. Like, she could have chosen a better haircut.
It's a lot of haircut missteps.
And fashion choices. Like, she's wearing a lot of, which I get because, like, I'm wearing real pants today, for example, while we're recording. It's, like, I've gotten used to not wearing real pants in quarantine. So I get, like, why she's wearing, like, a sweats moment. But also, like, you can make sweats look chic. It doesn't have to be hospice nurse.
Yeah, and I've met her IRL like a handful of times, and she's beautiful.
She is very beautiful.
And there's no, like, there's no reason for it all not to be able to come together on camera, and yet it persists. So.
I just think every season she looks more and more like she's trying to be Tom's mom.
I think she's just becoming his mom because she still is fighting all his battles for him.
Yeah.
And revisiting past seasons, you really start to notice how horribly Tom Schwartz handles any sort of conflict or confrontation. Like, he just goes full, like, touching
face. He's a baby.
So he needs mommy to come and, like, cut his hair and brush his hair.
Exactly.
And put a bib on and spoon feed him all his meals.
And Katie is transforming, like, into the soccer mom that, like, he always needed.
These types of men will do that to a woman.
Yeah. Like, he is draining Katie of her life force and turning her into a Midwestern soccer mom.
Yeah. There's no need for them to have a baby because she already has one. He is both husband and baby.
And I was watching an earlier season the other day, and I was actually, like, thrown off my rocker, shocked, because I forgot about his three, like, goblin twin, like, triplet brothers.
The basement brothers, like the
oaf brothers. Like, that is so, like I forget about that, and it haunts me, like, to this day, that there's, like, three more of Tom Schwartz, but, like, ogre vibes.
I don't know how he escaped just genetically out of the womb without resembling them whatsoever.
But also, remember when his ogre brothers visited and they had to, like, get them clothes, and, like, they
shared a cell phone. They shared a flip phone.
They live in a basement.
Like, what is actually wrong with them? We never got
hard-hitting
journalism that got to the bottom of why they live in a basement, don't own clothes, and share a flip phone.
And Tom only refers to them as the triplets. So it's like, clearly his upbringing was weird because none of them know how to do anything for themselves.
No.
Yeah.
Maybe they were kidnapped. Like, yeah, maybe Elizabeth Smart style.
They lived in a they all grew up in a basement, but Tom was, like, hot, so they, like, let him out to, like, make money for the family, and then he escaped. What are the twins? They're the triplets. They're like Bart,
Bert, Brett. It's like Bert, Brett, and
They're all B names.
And yeah, it's really bad.
Yeah.
I can't believe you brought that back into my consciousness after I had successfully forgotten about it.
It's something that just flees the mind. And that is something that I will say, because I've been keeping up with The Housewives and I've been watching a lot of Bravo in general. But like, the thing about Vanderpump Rules is you do forget, like, it is uniquely unhinged. Mm-hmm. In a way that, like, the Housewives do have something to lose. Like, once again, the people on Vanderpump Rules, like, have nothing to lose.
They have nothing. The stakes are higher now than they've ever been.
And
they,
that's true.
They increase every season. But they also, I don't know, I keep being haunted by the people that were fired, mostly just by Dodie, because I'm like,
she was what? The backbone of Vanderpump Rules.
She went through so much, like, trauma at the hands of this show.
Yeah.
And also at the hands of her own bad life choices. But like, this show specifically painted her in such a light and truly raked her over the coals to the point that I don't know what her job prospects could possibly be beyond.
Yeah, like Stassi, like, is now a podcast. She's a book.
She'll be fine.
She'll be fine.
Like, it's fine.
Jax and Brittany will be fine.
They'll find a way. They'll scam something.
But I agree with you. I'm worried about Kristen.
Like, I fear for her.
She doesn't have a partner to, like, keep her afloat.
No, I think she's dating some guy. But I'm like, who will hire you?
Because the thing about her is that she wasn't, like, the main character of Vanderpump the way that, like, Stassi was, where she was, like, all bubbly. Like, she was, like, the dark horse. Like, really the dark horse. And nobody wants the dark horse to come and, like, have a talk show.
No, and they don't, like, I don't know how she would blend into another cast of people.
Yeah.
I just don't know what's next for her, but I send her a lot of love and light and wish her the
best. I send her a lot of love and light as well.
Yeah, and I pray that she figures it out.
Does she still have her t-shirt company?
I don't know. I can't look because I can't know these things.
Yeah, we have to just, like, manifest good things for her, but, like, I am worried about, like, her, like, going back to the apartment that Tom and Ariana lived in and just, like, rotting there.
I know. I worry.
I worry.
It haunts me. Day in, day out.
That's why they took her off the show, because they don't want us to worry. They want us to just,
let her... The show is the only way for her to get, like, a guaranteed, like, good paycheck.
Yeah.
At this point, being, like, an OG, she's probably making... Would have made, like, six figures.
Wow, is that how much they get paid?
I think, like, if you've been on past three seasons, you get, like, a huge pay bump. And
yeah.
I would bet you that they're making, like, $200,000 to $400,000 a season.
Maybe she'll go work at one of those places where you just, like, smash things with a sledgehammer.
Yeah,
she could be, like,
a
good
room.
A good spokeswoman for that.
Or even, like, an escape room actor.
Wait, I went to an underwater themed escape room, and, like, she would be great in that. She would, maybe she had, like, she would have, like, her own escape rooms. Like,
the chaotic
Kristen
escape room is just to escape her energy, her bad energy that she brings to the table.
That is shockingly, like, yeah, I could see her doing that. I could see her doing tours, like, doing Hollywood, like, celeb tour, like doing, being in the bus and being like, this is, like, this celebrity's house. And, like, they're always wrong about those things too. Like, they don't really know where the celebrities live. But I could see her doing that.
Yeah. And, like, she could bring an element to it that's, like, talking shit or giving her story about, like,
the time she hung out there.
She should give tours of, like, all the Vanderpump Rules hotspots.
If she did, like, a Vanderpump haunted house moment.
Yeah, spill the tea.
Or, like, even if she worked at the Magic Castle, I would see that for her. She would be a good magician.
Totally.
But regardless, like, her destiny is her own to choose. And this season is telling us, like, we have to let Kristen go.
I know. And we've, I think, given her a lot of great feedback and ideas, so feel free to take all of those.
If you're listening, Kristen.
Yeah. Take as you please, and I'm sure more will come up over the course of this podcast season.
Yeah.
Charlie has three auditions, and she's killing it as an actress.
She's really excited.
I am sad for her, though, because once you're in Lisa's clutches, your prospects of doing anything that's not Vanderpump Rules related are net zero.
Lisa has to run you into the ground.
Mm-hmm. She will choose one. I think it's going to be James, who she will just destroy slowly but surely while making him think that she's helping him.
Yeah.
She simultaneously murders you from the inside out. But Charlie does not know what she's signed up for.
I think Lisa made a comment too where she was like, oh, interesting. Like, wonder how that's going to go along with you working at Sir. Like, yeah, she goes,
no, I don't want you to stop working at Sir.
And it's like, if Lisa doesn't want you to stop working at Sir, you won't get anything
You'll
else.
You'll never stop working at Sir.
I mean, it's just sad. It's like they put them into this like wheel of suffering where like any, all of them wanted to be actors at the beginning of Vanderpump Rules too. Like,
they
none
had
of them
huge dreams.
They had huge dreams. Tom wanted to be a musician.
He wanted to be Michael Jackson level famous. I think that's what he said in the very first episode.
So Charlie, I don't have like a lot of hope, but like I could see her in like a Netflix original, like with Noah Centineo as like a background character.
Totally.
Yeah.
Or like I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yeah.
As like just someone that gets killed.
Yes. I was going to say a horror movie actress who gets killed in like the first act.
I love that for her.
Yeah.
James has been 2 years sober ever since Raquel gave him the aforementioned ultimatum.
That was definitely what did it.
Yeah. When Raquel lays down the law, you have no choice but to
listen.
She's
very intimidating.
I would love for her to have a business where she does interventions. Like if Intervention hired Raquel to host then the intervention with the families and the drug addicts and alcoholics.
The thing about Raquel is that you can never say like watch your tone, because like everything she says is in the same tone. So like I feel like never would she be misinterpreted. Like she could be a very objective like commentator, be like your alcoholism has affected the family, and they won't be like that sounds a little pointed, because she just has one tone that she speaks in.
Yeah.
So she could be like good at that in an objective way.
You are killing your family with your drug and alcohol addiction, and it must stop.
Yeah. That sounds convincing to me.
I love that.
Yeah.
She says James smokes weed every day and is Cali sober.
Yeah, and he's DJing also in that scene, is he not?
Mm-hmm. He's DJing in the living room, and he says, James Kennedy's back, taking things to another level. And it shows him just like with a fog machine.
In his home.
Spraying a fog machine. Oh, yeah. I think there's a fog machine going in his home, but there's a clip of him DJing somewhere where he was holding like a handheld fog pipe. Something of some sort.
Imagine being his neighbor.
I'd kill myself.
Yeah.
Actually, his DJing is pretty good.
At least it's not his own original music.
I think that's pretty good too.
You're a fan.
I'm a fan. Yeah. And I've always been a fan. And I see huge things for James if he can get his shit together.
You need to be his manager.
He could play Coachella. I'm not even kidding.
Especially if he like did well on TikTok. I feel like he would also be good on like a Too Hot to Handle season. Like mm-hmm. he would be good. But he and Raquel are engaged now, right?
I know, which feels fake. Like a psyop or something.
Yeah.
Like I don't trust it.
Yeah.
I am sad that the James and Logan like potentially bisexual storyline never got fully explored.
Yeah.
And I yearn for single James.
I do yearn for single James. And I unfortunately feel like he will come again.
Yeah. Lisa sits down with James and asks him how he's doing, but it's really just a ploy to then bring up texts that he sent to her son, which is so awkward to me that she's...
I know. It's like your son is 30. Why are you like, you were mean to my son on the playground?
Yeah, like, also, does Max work at Sir in any capacity beyond just being a busboy? Because I thought he was pretty low level at the restaurant.
It's just so funny because she was basically like... She was like, how are you doing? And James was like, I've been doing amazing, honestly. Like, I just love my life. And like, I've been so successful and being sober is amazing. And she's like, what about these texts that you sent to my son? You called him a fat cunt.
The texts are, you're fat and nobody likes you. You're a miserable cunt. You always have been. You come outside, you fat prick. All I could think about is how fat you look. Honestly, fuck off. You're a prick.
And that was over a plate of pasta once again.
A Caesar salad.
Oh, I thought it was a pasta.
No, it was at an Italian restaurant.
Okay.
But I guess that charges a $10 split plate fee to split a Caesar salad. And that irritated Max. But James, I guess, doesn't like anchovies. It seems like probably something else was in the mix to get this lit. They came
took
to
protein
blows.
Powder.
Yeah.
They took a protein pill before they went there. And that's...
They almost like squared up at this restaurant and knocked over a heater, they said, and everyone was staring at them.
Because they were upset about the split plate fee?
I think there had to be other chemicals or just like lifelong resentments that came to a head in that moment.
But it is funny because Lisa was like, oh, James says he's doing well this season. Well, how about I pull up these texts she sent to my son?
She loves to tee you up just to take you down.
Let me also say Lisa looks gorgeous.
I'm having some issues with like her forehead area.
Okay. I was just going to say that like I feel like some of the other cast is looking like a little bit ran through and like the fillers are getting to be too much. And I have to say that Lisa for her age does not, like her face looks very smooth.
It's very smooth, but mayhaps a little too smooth.
That's true.
But I still, she's always going to be like,
what's
stunning.
Going on with her forehead?
I don't know. It just, everything looked a little too smooth.
Yeah.
Almost like maybe there was a facelift procedure or Botox that hasn't like fully settled in yet.
I'm wondering if she got a BBL because when she when she turned around,
she had like, a badonkadonk.
Did Lisa get a BBL? Did maybe. She go to the Dominican Republic to get a BBL like all the girlies are doing these days?
She could have very well gotten it.
Yeah.
I mean, her figure has always been stunning.
Yeah.
Maybe she
got one of the first BBLs.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past her. I think probably every wealthy person.
Yeah.
They maintained all their stuff and then some during quarantine. Like it was just an extended opportunity to get all the plastic surgery that you've wanted, but just couldn't find time for because you couldn't recover for that long.
Exactly.
So I wouldn't put it past her.
Mm-hmm. This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
Wait, we didn't talk about Lala drinking her breast milk.
That was haunting.
At the very beginning.
She put it in her coffee.
She did?
She put it in her coffee.
Oh, I didn't even. She tasted, my brain wouldn't even allow that was, to be registered. It was haunting.
She drank it and she was like, tastes good. And then she poured it in her coffee, like as a creamer.
Like, I would taste my own breast milk just to see.
But, like, I wouldn't put it in my coffee.
I'm a whole milk girl. Like, yeah. That's not going to change.
And, like, she basically is like, I'm not going to not taste something that I made. And it's like, yeah, but there's a reason we don't drink human breast milk.
Like, yeah, I get tasting it. But then, like, supplementing your dairy with your own breast milk.
And then she got mad because Rand wouldn't try it.
And then she said, I want my man to milk me.
She did say, I want my man to. She's become more unhinged since having a baby. I thought it would tone her down a little bit. It is not.
No, and I'm glad for that. And I also am glad for just how sexually unhinged she is. Like, yeah. She's going into, like, deep fetish, like, nooks and crannies that I hope there's more of that.
I want my man to milk me.
I was shocked.
It was shocking.
It takes a lot to shock me, but I want my man to milk me, just like an outright wish that you shared with the entire world.
Yeah, she was sharing a lot in this episode, which mm-hmm. her birth scene, but we'll get to that. That was actually like so violent. Like, it was so.
That was wild.
Her pussy was out, like her whole pussy was on camera,
her entire from the waist down spread eagle, and just like splooted a baby out. She goes, it's that baby slid out of the cookie.
Why did, like, we need visual? Like, I actually, like, we did not need to see that. If we wanted to click on the birth vlog, we would, but like, they did not do a good job like blurring it out. Like, it was,
I feel like I saw.
So graphic.
It was. And I also was like, wow. It was just shocked. It was miraculous to me because I was like, wow, women do this. Like, amazing.
Yeah.
But it was.
But also, I didn't consent to seeing that.
True.
And there should have been some warning at the beginning of the episode that there was graphic birthing footage.
Graphic birth.
Yeah. It was really not necessary. Like, I could have heard about it without seeing it. But that was Lala's choice, and it was cinematic.
It was. And now we all know.
Now we all know that it just slid right out of the cookie.
It looked like it slid with, like, a lot of force behind it, too.
Yeah, usually it's, like, kind of like a push. Like, the I thought head it was, comes like, a out.
Slow pull.
Yeah, it just.
It just slip. Shot into the doctor's hands.
Lala's then, pussy power is
the power of the puss.
Yeah. She does Kegels like crazy.
Probably.
Yeah.
I wonder if she had an epidural or like.
Yeah, but still, even if you have an epidural, like, then you're numb from the waist down. How can you just push it out that fast?
I don't know.
I like kind of don't feel like she actually gave birth to her child. I feel like she had a surrogate do it and it was like secret. But like, I know that she did. But like, the conspiracy theories that like she just. Her whole journey, because I was following all of them when they were pregnant, like waiting for them to give birth. And like, you know, Brittany was like, wow, it's been really hard on my body. Like, I haven't bounced back. And like, Stassi was like, oh, like all these days I've just been changing diapers. And like, Sheena was like, I almost died. And then like, Lala was just kind of like, my baby's here. And I started a baby brand, like Give Them Lala Baby. And it's
she
like,
has Give Them Lala Baby?
Yes.
Kylie Baby.
Yeah.
Did not see that coming.
No, but like. It just felt like, did your baby just like appear out of nowhere? Like you didn't have like a struggle, like recovering or like, it just seems a little suspicious.
Okay, I like this conspiracy theory. Yeah. I feel like she probably has a whole nanny set up.
She did mention the night nurse, which okay. is why she's not stressed. Because she says, oh, like, well, I'll just come home and then the night nurse takes over. And it's like, okay, so you just don't do anything.
Yeah, then. You just lay there and then they bring it to you and then take it.
And you like, use you don't it for the photo shoots for Give Them Lala Baby.
And I wonder, maybe she had some sort of lipo or BBL yeah. afterwards to like bounce back quickly.
We do need to talk about the Vanderpump baby names.
Ocean, I love.
You love Ocean.
Yeah, I think it's beautiful. And it reminds me of that iconic photo shoot where Sheena, Lala, and Ariana dressed up as orcas in like body paint for PETA. And like all, and there was like a splash behind them. It took me back to a place of Orca, which I'm always down to.
Orca is a more beautiful name than Ocean.
She should have named it Orca, yeah. honestly.
But like, what do you call the baby for short?
Oshi?
Oshi?
Osh?
Osh? Like, people don't
or
think
just
about... Oh, I guess they do call her O. Summer Moon Honey.
That's a wild... That reminds me of Watermelon Sugar, yeah. that Harry Styles song.
They were doing too much.
But oh, that's classically Sheena.
It is. And then like you Hartford, can only
you have to pick one. You have to you pick can't one. Do Summer Moon and Honey. You could do just choose
but
one.
But it's Summer Moon hyphenated because when the baby appeared on the screen, it said Summer Moon.
Sheena is always going to do things her own way.
She is.
Some people hyphenate the last names. She's hyphenating the first name.
And then Stassi's Hartford Charlie Rose. Why did you name Charlie Rose? It could have been Rose Charlie. You didn't have to name your baby after Charlie Rose.
I don't think she knew who Charlie Rose was. Otherwise, she certainly wouldn't have made that choice.
And also, Hartford is a terrible name
it's
for a baby.
Horrible name.
And not even a fun city in Connecticut. Like, what is it coming from?
No, it makes no sense. And honestly, if I'm going to rank babies in cuteness, I would say probably Ocean and Summer Moon.
Ocean is really cute.
Ocean's really cute.
And
they're
Jax's
tied.
Baby is, what is it's Crew?
Cruise.
Cruise?
Yeah.
They would name it that.
I know.
That makes sense.
Cruise, then Cruise underneath the two girls, then Hartford.
Hartford is...
Because honestly, if a baby's like mid-level cute, but has a really cute name, then it becomes even cuter.
So true.
But if it's mid and then has a name like Hartford, like
it goes down.
It goes way down.
It's an old man vibe. Mm. And you're a ginger. Like, pick a struggle.
I know. And also it's like, will this baby be able to live up to Mean Girl? I don't think it has the makings of like a queen bee.
Yeah. Who do you
with
think
with a name like Hartford?
I think Ocean is definitely going to bully the other babies when she gets older.
Yeah. I think Ocean and Summer Moon could join forces.
Yeah.
And I pray that Sheena and Lala repair whatever rift is going on because I want those babies to grow up together.
I do, yeah.
I would keep my child away from Jax and Brittany's offspring.
No questions asked.
There wouldn't be no play dates. Like, can you imagine sending your child over to Jax and Brittany's house to go play with their kid?
You know they're letting them like play with toy guns and stuff. Like it's like that's the house with the violent video games and the Nerf guns. And,
yeah.
Like, this like the snacks that have toxins in them.
Like, or just like it's the house where Jax speaks to his wife in like disrespectful. Like I wouldn't even want my children to see a relationship.
Yeah.
Like have a front row seat to their relationship.
I agree. Boycott Cruise.
Boycott Cruise. I would let my baby go to Lala and Rand's house.
Yeah, because I know that they have a lot of extra help. Like, they probably have nannies that are watching them all the time.
Yeah.
Brock is really sketchy. We haven't talked about him, but...
Sheena has moved on completely and has the photos to prove it.
Wait, she broke up with him?
No, she just moved on from, like, her past paramours and now is with Brock. Like, pre-pandemic.
Who allegedly has other children that he's abandoned?
I think he has, like, a family in Australia.
And he just left them?
I guess so. Which I have known weirdly for a long time, but Sheena is very on brand in that she will choose the worst possible person to be with at all times. And I think if a man has left a family in another country to start a family with you, chances are you too will be left one day.
Yeah. And they had that whole scene where Sheena was like, he's the one. And I know I've said that like a number of times. And they did like the rewind and they were like, yeah, like Rob, like he could hang a TV. And then like her other man that she actually married. And she was like, but this time I've never felt anything like this.
She does seem more centered in the relationship. But I don't know how much of that is like her own self-deluding energy that she brings to it.
It is bold to just get into a relationship and like 9 months later have a child.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
I, again, root for Sheena, but I'm a little bit hesitant.
Yeah.
Because didn't she say, like, her beef with Lala is that Sheena had a miscarriage and Lala wasn't there for her.
And Brock instead, was golfing.
And Brock was golfing, but that, I guess, was okay. But Lala took the brunt of that anger because she went to go have dinner with Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly.
Which, to be honest, so would I.
Yeah, I mean, you said you didn't want anyone around.
Yeah. It's confusing. I don't think that Sheena's in the right there. She always is. Remember when she had her tooth surgery or whatever?
I'll never forget. Nobody
was there for her. Like, and then she like hurt her leg and nobody was there for her. Like, she loves to say nobody's there for her.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, how about you talk about your man who was golfing while you were having a miscarriage?
Yeah,
like,
where was he?
Where was he?
Get him back home.
Yeah.
Lala's book release day really is a mere blip on the radar of this episode.
I know.
I guess they're in COVID, so RIP to all books released during COVID. Yeah. Like, unless you're Sally Rooney, you really don't have a chance. But did anyone read Give Them Lala?
What is Lala giving them?
Did anyone want to be given Lala form?
I just don't understand what she, like, she wrote about how to be, like, a badass bitch.
I think she wrote, like, personal essays or told her story, but I'm like...
What story?
I don't know.
What do we need to know?
I guess I need to get in to Give Them Lala, but, like, it just seems a little early in her career to be telling all your sad stories.
That's the thing, is whenever anybody gets famous, like, they will immediately reach out to you with a book deal, and it's like,
excuse you,
Tony. Tony, do you want a book deal?
They will. He's like, Give Them Lala is actually great.
Give Them Lala is actually a really acclaimed read. No, they'll immediately reach out with a book deal, and it's like, do you have anything to say?
Yeah. I understand, like, Stassi's book deal, which it was like an easy money grab.
Yeah.
And How to Be Basic or whatever.
Yeah.
It's not like her book of personal essays about her
reflections.
Life.
Yeah. But you said Kristen's book was really good.
Kristen's book was pretty good. Yeah.
And you did say that there was a manipulation trick in there that everybody had to read it for.
There actually was, like, a really good. And now I can't super
It was a way to manipulate
it
men.
It was a, yeah, it was a way to, it might have been a way to, like, hack into their email or something, where Kristen is basically like,
Kristen.
It's like you're hanging with your man and then you're like, what street? Oh my God, I grew up on this street. What street did you grow up on? And you, like, ask him flirty questions that could end up being the security answers. To, like,
she is so crazy.
She's a genius.
That is a genius move.
Yeah. But unfortunately, also her book just got fucking flattened.
Nobody
by
heard
the
about
scandal.
It.
Yeah. No, it was terrible timing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Give Them Lala, I think, went right into the bargain bin.
I also wrote down that Tom Sandoval looks like a magician with this new mustache. Mm-hmm. He's giving very much magician vibes for me. Like, if they just put a little top hat on him, he would be a great magician.
Yeah.
I don't love the look. How do you feel about it?
I have such a soft spot for Sandoval that I accept him in all shapes and forms. Mm-hmm. And I feel solace in the fact that his look is ever shifting. So even if I don't like something, it's only a matter of months before he changes it up again.
That's very true.
Like,
that's
a true pop true. Star.
He is a pop star. I also am wondering, is Jiggy still alive? Because there were some scenes of Lisa and Ken with the dog that was, like, lying completely still on
true.
The table.
I wrote, like, in my notes, I was like, dead dog on table. She just, it looks like literally you throw your purse or, like, throw a coat onto a table.
It is comatose. It is lying completely
flat.
It's flat. Like, it is flattened. And I'm like, did they stuff Jiggy?
I don't know if that's Jiggy or if it's that other dog, because they got another Pomeranian. Which, I have another dark Lisa theory.
Yeah, give it to me.
But I think she Munchausens her Pomeranians, because she got a Pomeranian that was named Harrison that was, like, extremely lively, fluffy.
Right.
And so cute.
And she called him, like, sexy, right? She was like, he's my sexy man.
She calls all her dogs her sexy man. There's a constant going, like, sexual tension between her and her animals. But now Harrison is much thinner, has alopecia as well, and, like, it has to dress in, like, little pajamas. And I was like, this dog did not start out like this. And what are the chances that this dog developed the same problems as Jiggy?
Wait, she's actually Munchausen them.
That's my theory.
That makes sense to me. She would be, just for the attention.
Because Harrison now, she has a Pomeranian that she carries around that looks exactly like Jiggy.
And is that the one that was dead dog on table?
I have no idea. I need a timeline of dog.
I just can't express how unalive the dog looked.
That was a mere accessory.
Yeah, and it was so flat. It was flat Stanley.
It did, you couldn't even tell if it was breathing or not.
I don't think
it did
was.
Not move.
Yeah, like, even, like, Tony sitting here, like, he's moving his little ears.
Yeah, he's not,
like,
flat.
He's not flat.
He's not a throw, like, a stuffed
I
animal.
I do feel like she just, like, chucked it on the table. It was the way her dogs are treated is haunting.
It was like you could just, like, slap it down like that.
And I mean, either the way it was, like, laid out, like, I'm a Lisa
dogs
dog.
Dogs don't
trooper.
Just lay with their arms and legs both splayed.
They don't look
and,
like a loaf.
And face down.
Yeah. It was also face.
Maybe
it was
she
face down.
Ever since Jiggy, she gets palms, but she Munchausens them to be like Jiggy because
she misses
Jiggy
so much. Yeah. Did we talk about when James was talking to Lisa's son?
No, we haven't talked about that yet.
Is that out of order?
No, I mean, well, Sheena, so Sheena and Lala are beefing, and Sheena's going to throw a hibachi birthday party.
Wait, also, did Brock forget her birthday?
Yeah.
She, like, woke up and she was like, it's my birthday. And Brock was like, oh, I definitely knew that.
Yeah, he did. I thought that she was like, my birthday's coming, don't you know? But I guess it was actually her birthday.
Which is so sad that he forgot her birthday. And she didn't even care. She was like, oh, that's just silly, Brock. Like, he's just like that.
I think that this season is really going to be about how shady Brock is.
Yeah.
And I'm here for that entertainment.
Yeah. So they had a hibachi dinner, but it was at Ariana and Tom's house.
Yeah, they're going to have it. And she's Sheena. I love power hungry birthday. Sheena loves to control the guest list.
Yeah.
And even though she's mad at Lala, she says, I'm so forgiving that I'm going to invite her to my birthday.
And Lala says, just because I hate the bitch doesn't mean I'm not going to like go to her birthday party.
And then Sheena immediately calls Ariana to tattle on Lala for saying that they don't give a fuck about each other.
Sheena's such a snitch. She played the snippet out loud over the phone. She was like, by the way, Ariana, I don't know if you heard, but Lala said this about you, and put the phone up to the...
Want me to play it? Yeah. She had to, you have to go out of your way to record that audio.
Yeah.
So you can trust that Sheena will always insert herself.
She loves to start drama.
Yeah, and make sure that she gets the audio recording of someone talking shit about you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so James goes over to Lisa's house wearing the skinniest jeans I've ever seen.
He is so small. He's a little twig.
He is.
Yeah.
I thought skinny jeans on men were a thing of yesteryear.
James is bringing them back.
He is like kind of Euro, I guess. Like it is, it feels like a Manchester thing or something.
He's not beating the gay allegations, I fear.
And Lisa is, I guess, like arbitrating their fight, which again, these are two men in their 30s.
She's arranged a confrontation between them.
I'm shaken to my core. This feels also very like Katie Maloney style.
Yeah.
Like the mothering of Max is too much.
Max's haircut also looks really bad.
Max is a tragic character.
He's a tragic character. And it's like Lisa just like, does he live in Lisa's house?
I think so. Like I thought he was a, no, maybe he doesn't, because he seemed to walk out some door at the end and say, like, see you
later.
Lisa's
just happy that he's like still alive. Like that's the impression that I get. Like she doesn't really like, she babies him a lot.
I think he's also adopted. So maybe there's like some drama, complicated drama there.
Yeah.
And I do think he had to spend time away for a while.
He got sent to wilderness.
He might have gone to wilderness or like therapeutic boarding school or like a rehab or something. I'm glad that she gives him a job of like being on the show and working at Sir.
But it was very sad. And like his accent was also very confusing to me, because I was like, did you grow up in America? Because his accent sounded really British and then it became more American. And then
I think he and Pandora both put the accent on for TV.
The audacity to name your daughter Pandora. Like you name one daughter Pandora, your son Max.
Max.
And he's adopted. It's like clearly there's a favorite here.
Yeah, you can't just go Pandora and then Max.
Which also like Pandora was not a good character in mythology. Like she opened that box and let in all the evils in the world.
True.
Why would you name your daughter after that?
And also Pandora Vanderpump Todd is not even bringing like chaotic Pandora energy to
the mix. She's not. And if she was, I would love to see her on it. But she's busy being rich, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. And like living in really unfortunate houses.
Yeah. And so James was fat shaming Lisa's son.
I love the audacity of him doing it in front of his own mother.
Yeah.
Being like, you're weak. You're a pussy. I smell the pussy on you, weakling.
And it's like Lisa just standing in between them. And like it just happens so quickly that James gets angry. Like he's approaching it with like respect. And then all of a sudden he's like, you're fucking weak, you piece of shit. And then Max is like, I'm walking away. I'm walking away. And James is like, yeah, you would walk away, you loser piece of shit. And like Max has apparently blocked James on everything.
They've had like a full-blown falling out.
Like, James tried to contact Max and he's like, well, Max has blocked me on everything, actually. So, everything? Do you know how much you have to fuck somebody over to get blocked on everything?
On every single platform and text and call.
And that's why he can't apologize, because he's been blocked on everything.
I love Max leaving the kitchen and going, stay out of sir, to James.
And then James looks at Lisa and Lisa's like, oh, are you, like, Lisa was like, as if he just made the declaration. She was like, oh, are you not working at Sir anymore? Like, as if Max just, like, decided that he wouldn't.
Does he have that power at Sir now?
I think Lisa was kind of like, we still need you to work at Sir.
But yeah, like you would be a fool not to let DJ James Kennedy, the now star of your show, at DJ at your shitty restaurant.
But also the idea that like Sir is like the territory that's like, stay out of my like palace grounds, and it's like, Sir, that's where you want him to stay out of? Like, not even like Villa Rosa, like, just stay out of.
Well, Villa Rosa's gone now.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Villa Rosa closed, and I guess that building either sold or got leased.
Oh, sorry, I
didn't
mean Villa Rosa. What's her house called? Villa
Blanca. Oh, I was thinking Villa Blanca. Yeah, not stay out of Villa Rosa. You can come
Villa
to my
Rosa
mom's
house.
Yeah. You can come to my mom's house, but you can't come to Sir.
Yeah, like,
also, no one goes to Sir.
Let me just say, there was that whole scene where Raquel was like serving people and like in the mask, and like they make Sir look so appetizing. I cannot express the one time I walked into Sir. It was the dingiest, most depressing vibes. Nobody was in there. Like, you couldn't even get a table because nobody was like waiting at like the stand to give you a table. Like,
it's a horrible, horrible place. Like,
yeah,
you are better served to just peek in there, see how bad it is, and then go to either Pump or Tom Tom.
Is Pump good? I haven't been to Pump.
Pump's like fine. They have like a salmon salad on the menu, yeah, and like that's, it's doable. And yeah, they have like their rosé or whatever. If you want to go sit on the patio under those like 100-year-old olive trees,
yeah,
and feel festive, that's like a great place to do it.
Pump is somewhere to get drunk when like you don't really care where you get drunk.
Exactly.
And Tom Tom is like fun. The buzz button shots are fun, but like still none of her restaurants are like the place to be.
No.
Especially Sir is like actually so dark sided.
Yeah, Sir's disgusting. Yeah. And I think it's just a full blown money laundering scam at this point, because I don't think of many people even go there anymore.
And James is like, oh, I'll have no trouble staying out of Sir. Who wants to go there? Like, stay out of Sir.
You're like, cool, thank you for doing me that favor that I never have to enter this restaurant again.
It's crazy.
Also, Tom Tom, yeah, is the crown jewel in the Vanderpump Empire at this point, and like gets the most foot traffic, but it also is all tourists.
Yeah, that's the thing, is when I went into Tom Tom, it felt like I was no longer in LA.
Yeah,
because it's all people from that are just visiting, like as if it's Disneyland. Like, mm-hmm. It's weird.
They have few regulars.
They have few.
I am one of them, unfortunately, for me.
Well, they're buffalo cauliflower.
It's insane.
Wings. Yeah.
And the mac and cheese, the bacon mac and cheese.
Oh, I haven't tried that, but
so
that sounds really good.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Also, it seems that Sheena has moved from Marina Del Rey. She's moved to Hollywood.
Wait, really?
Yeah, because
I didn't
get
that.
It said Sheena's apartment in Hollywood.
Whoa.
And she just made a huge deal about like buying that apartment, or like getting that apartment in Marina Del Rey. And everybody was like, why would you live there? Like, nobody's going to come visit you. And she was like, well, I love the beach and I love to live on the water. And yeah, now she's living in like a tiny apartment in Hollywood with Brock.
I'm unclear on her real estate choices.
Does she like still have the Marina Del Rey place?
I don't know. I think she bought a house in Palm Springs too when they were all like buying places, but I don't know if that was more of an Airbnb property or what the deal was.
Yeah, no, it said Sheena's apartment in Hollywood. So
I wonder if Sheena had to pay Mike Shea like spousal support.
Or maybe Brock lives in Hollywood and he's like, I'm not moving.
Maybe. I hope that Sheena has some sort of rock solid prenup.
I think Brock's a gold digger, right?
Yeah, I think he's found a great thing. Like, they just met at a music festival and all he had to do is hold her up like Dirty Dancing
she
style.
She loves when someone holds her
she
up.
She loves getting just lifted up by one arm, and I understand that, and that would really make me excited too, except the person that could do that with me would have to be a literal giant.
Yeah, I would not feel comfortable with that.
But Sheena, like, who knew that was the way to her heart?
And she was like, he looked like Aquaman, and he turned around and he spoke in that Australian accent, and then Brock was like, yeah, to be honest, like, that is a really good way that I get girls. like, okay.
Also, I mean, I love an Australian accent, but I also think Australians sound like incredibly dumb sometimes. And I think any Australian listening to this podcast would agree with that.
Yeah.
We all are on the same page about that.
Apologies to the listeners as well, because I don't know how to do any accents except when I get drunk, I can kind of do like a Russian accent. I think my like Eastern European like shtetl heritage like comes out and I can do it. But like, I cannot. I'm very impressed that you can like do all the accents. You can even do like Dorit's accent, which is like
I try my best. It's hard.
It's hard.
It's hard. I have to really get in like a headspace to accurately capture it or go immediately from watching to then podcasting. So it's fresh in my brain.
But I can't really
do Australian is hard. I can't do Brock's accent. But he sounds his accent is particularly a bad Australian.
It's like he's doing like a spoof of an Australian accent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Justice for Brock's family in Australia.
Justice for his baby mama and his two children that live in Australia. Any Australian listeners, what do you know about
What do you
them?
Know? Do you know anything about Brock? What's his deal? Did he get sent away from Australia to the colonies? Like,
yeah, where is his family? Like, where do they live?
Yeah.
I hope they live in like Melbourne or somewhere glamorous, like Byron Bay.
Yeah.
I hope they don't live in like the outback.
They probably do.
I'm sad for them.
Have you ever seen that show, Australia's Cheapest Weddings?
No, but it sounds right up my alley.
Actually, the best show of all time. I'm not even kidding. You have to watch it. I think it's just like Australia's weddings. Like, they don't have cheapest anymore, but it's on Netflix. It is hands down the best show I've ever seen. It is like these Australian people that are trying to have like outback like weddings where they spend the least amount of money. So it's like really tacky. And like there's this one episode where like this like boudoir like pinup girl is like marrying this Australian outback guy. And like they're like riding around on his motorcycle and it like gives me Brock vibes.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I would watch the hell out of that.
Yeah, it's very good.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Katie is cutting Schwartz's hair and she
mommy vibes.
She says that she wants to get involved with the restaurant that he is creating with Tom Sandoval. And she says, because we didn't have a baby, this could be like our baby, which is not a great way to like approach a business.
Well, Tom also really clearly wants a baby and Ariana's like, no. So,
but she did say that she froze her eggs.
I feel like she's just teasing him, like, at this point. Tom wants to be a dad so bad.
I like to make him wait until he really, really wants it, and then he'll do everything.
Yeah. Well, it's also, like, I was looking at their decor. Do they live in a hotel?
No, but I think their place is probably the best decorated place of everyone else's.
I was not obsessed with the giant green headboard.
I don't love it's not my taste, but I appreciate that they like really went for it.
Yeah, they did.
Also, they might have gotten way too many chairs because at one point in the night, they like, when the Toms went in another room to talk, it's like they walked into a room that was just a sea of chairs. And I was like, what are all these fucking chairs doing in this room?
I also do like their landscaping. Like, their pool in the backyard is very nice, mm-hmm. even if it's in Valley Village.
And they did it. Like, even though it's a farmhouse, like that hideous farmhouse style.
Yeah.
At least they're like coming at it with a point of view and perspective and making it their own.
Yeah, it's classy. And also, yeah, it's classy, like childless 30-year-old vibes, which is like good because, you know, in Britney and Jax's house, there's like all sorts of live, laugh, love posters and like crew's name in like big letters and like
it's, and like beaches that way kind of like signage.
So, and it's definitely beaches that way. It's like beaches 45 minutes away. Down the 405,
like on like a no traffic clear day.
Yeah.
I'm sad that we're also robbed of the opportunity to see how Britney and Jax's like final product of a house turned out.
Exactly. And they all bought like identical houses. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a friend that was house sitting literally like next door to Stassi and Beau's house.
Their house in Hollywood.
Yeah, their house in like Beechwood Canyon.
Wow.
I've actually walked by it a few times.
I feel like if I met Stassi, she would be really mean.
I don't know. She might be nice.
I don't know. I feel like
she's probably over it. She probably does not want to get recognized for being like on Vanderpump Rules because everyone knows how it all turned out for
her.
And
also that Beau is has been bankrupt.
Twice.
And it's probably a Republican. Make
insane money on their Patreon.
Yeah.
Like her fans are so rabid, like they'll support her to the end.
Yeah. And they want to hear her podcast and talk about little baby Hartford and things like that.
Yeah. And want to hear them podcast, which I listened to one episode that they did like ages ago when they on her old podcast. And it was so awful. Like the tension between them. And you could just tell, like, it was the kind of podcast where like couples are bickering but like they really do need to be in therapy to like discuss whatever's going on, and you're just uncomfortable having to listen to
it's literally scenes from a marriage.
I don't like that.
No, it's very awkward. And it's yikes.
Yeah, I have no desire to like interact with that content.
Yeah. And also, doesn't Lala and Rand also have a podcast?
They do, and they're going on tour. They're taking their podcasts on tour, which I'm like, how and why?
Isn't Rand supposed to be like successful? Like, isn't he supposed to not be like associating?
Yeah, he's like a Hollywood producer. So you would think he'd be too busy producing and taking meetings to then go
to
on
be
a
on
tour.
Lala's podcast?
They're going to Orlando, Alabama. I think it seems to be a really Southern.
Okay, Southern leaning tour.
Yeah, so good luck to them selling the tickets, because I think I would venture to say that this podcast gets more downloads on a weekly basis give them Lala with Randall.
With Randall, as it should, because this podcast is very entertaining, and give them Lala and Randall is like, what are they even saying? They're just talking about how they're beefing with like Ariana and beefing with Sheena, and like they have to invent beefs to keep the listeners.
Again, it's like, it's too soon in the game it to be like soon. Podcasting like that and writing books like that.
Yeah.
You got to actually do something other than your stint on reality television.
Yeah.
On like a niche reality TV
show. I think Rand is lying to us about how successful he actually is.
Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see him carrying a lot of debt at any given time.
Totally.
Like kind of going paycheck to paycheck, but it's like huge paycheck to huge paycheck.
He did have a very expensive divorce, probably.
Yeah. Is that girl on You? His ex?
I think she is. She's like kind of a famous actress.
She might be really successful now.
Yeah. She probably was like, I'm taking the money. You left me for Lala, as she should.
Good for her.
Good for her.
Tom and Ariana, we get to their house for hibachi night and everyone arrives. I love postpartum Sheena.
Me too.
She's really good energy.
And I really like that she's like showing like a realistic postpartum body. Like I feel like some people would like drag her or whatever because people are assholes. But like I really respect that she was like, the theme tonight is pink and black because this pink dress is the only thing I can fit into. And like she's just owning it. Mm-hmm. And she did just have a baby. So like queen.
Like, just have a baby. Like that baby is fresh.
Lala, on the other hand, looks like no baby ever popped out of. That's why they included that clip, because they wanted us to think that Lala gave birth to it. They were like, see, she definitely did. Look at this pic of her pussy. Like,
I know. Did it show exactly her face?
No, it just showed her legs.
Maybe it was a surrogate.
I mean, she looks like she did not. Like, Brittany looks like she gave birth. Like, yeah. Sheena looks like she gave birth. You know Jax is being so mean to Brittany, too, about, like, still having weight on from the baby. He's still mad that she's not, like, as skinny as she was when she was a Hooters waitress.
I know. He's been mad about that for years.
Remember when he was like, you just need to, like, exercise a little bit more. Like, you're kind of unhealthy. You just sit on the couch all day.
In season 6, we talked about it at our Chicago show. He literally, the first scene you see of him, he goes, we're doing a lot better. Brittany finally got off the couch and, like, she's stopped giving, like, supporting Postmates. I was like, oh my God. Can you imagine then getting married and having a kid with a guy that said that about you?
Yeah. And then you know that, like, she's on the couch exhausted from, like, breastfeeding their son. And he's like, you're sitting on the couch again. Maybe you need to go to the gym and get off that baby weight. Like, he's definitely awful.
Yeah. And now she just has to suffer in silence.
Yeah.
Which may or may not be worse than suffering on a national televised show.
The thing is like, Brittany did do that to herself. She really just wanted Jax to be her husband and to have a baby together, regardless of, like, what needed to happen to get there. So, like, she wanted that wedding at the Kentucky castle. Like, she was going to do whatever it takes. Doesn't matter how many times he cheated on her. Like, he was the one she chose for that narrative, and he had to play the part.
Yeah. She chose this life and very much did it to herself. She's had plenty of opportunities to walk away and leave him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't have that much.
I don't think that Bo was, like, mean to Stassi about, and, like, Rand has no right to be mean to Lala about, like, post-baby weight. Like, I don't know. It's, like, definitely Jax was the mean. Like, thinking
about... Yeah, Jax is also, like, the most obsessed with his own appearance. Exactly. I mean, aside from Sandoval, but in a different way where he's always, like, working out and had that, like, male model, like, sociopath energy.
But Sandoval would be so nice to Ariana if she was, like, struggling after giving birth. Like, it is such a huge gift to somebody to give birth to their child. Like, the fact that you would criticize them at all is, like, jail. Seriously.
Instant death sentence.
So I'm proud of Sheena. She looks great. She's having her hibachi birthday party. Her eyelashes are a little too long.
But that's, like, just classically Sheena.
Yeah. And Lala shows up wearing, like, a Burberry sort of outfit.
Lala's not dressed. In streetwear. She's not dressed for the event. You can tell that Lala feels like she's above all these people.
Yeah.
But that only works when you have other people on your level to be above other people with.
Yeah.
You can't just be the one person that's, like, in a cast of people thinking you're better than everyone else.
And Sheena was pissed because she, like, Lala did not wear pink or black.
Didn't honor the theme.
Tom Sandoval always honoring the theme, wearing a pink wig.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I feel like Lala should be on, like, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills or something. Like, I feel like she wants to be more elevated, and she shows up very much in the way that, like, the Beverly Hills housewives show up, where they're like, this is my job. Like, I just have to show up to this event.
She has the face for Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Like, whatever has happened
to, like, her face.
She has a whole new face.
She does.
And it doesn't look bad. It just looks very much like a new face.
Yeah.
And the energy, the sober energy, and I think she makes really good reality television because she will talk shit, and she's, like, confrontational and has no problem, like, saying fucked up things to people's faces. But I do think maybe she needs to be bumped up to that franchise.
Yeah, and she's just over it. You can tell.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not over it to start drama, but, like, she goes there and she's like, ew, like, hibachi. Like, there was a magician there as well.
Yeah, and she's, like, talking shit. This magician was cool.
I mean, I wouldn't personally have a magician at my birthday party.
No, that's not how I would roll either. I would definitely have a hibachi birthday party. Yeah. I didn't even know that you could do that.
Hibachi birthday parties? There used to be a hibachi place near my house when I was little. And, like, everybody would go and get, and they'd do, like, the, like, volcano tower with the onions. Like, that is fun. A magician, on the other hand, look, I wouldn't go to a party and make fun of the magician.
No, I would be on, I'm on board for that magician specifically. He blew my mind.
Yeah.
So that's cool. If Sheena wants to spend her money to get herself a magician, then, like, who am I to stop her?
And Lala was like, yeah, this would be fun if it was Rand's kid's birthday party, not for an adult. Like, okay, you just don't like to have fun.
Yeah, okay, Lala, you're 30. You literally dated one person, and it's Rand. And then you didn't even get married to him. You just had a kid with him.
Are they not married? They're engaged.
I think they're engaged, but not married. But I'm also like, you're acting like we don't know
how you got into that relationship.
From Utah, who, like, got with this guy. You were like a yacht girl that then got with this guy.
And you talked about how your dome is so good that like you had to get married. Like he just had to marry you. Like
that he gave you a Range Rover day one.
Yeah.
Like we know your backstory.
We do.
So, and it's all good, but don't act like you're better than everyone else.
I agree. And she was ready to fight at the party. She was ready to start some drama.
Yeah, she came to brawl.
I did say Katie is giving Midwestern again at this party. The haircut looks even worse somehow.
Yeah, the hair started out, I was like neutral about it.
Yeah.
And then by the end of this party, when she's like walking Lala out in the last scene, I got a look at how it swoops into itself in the back. And I truly,
Gabriel vibes.
I couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
I was instantly taken back to a place of like Oklahoma. And I don't even think people I know in Oklahoma would have that haircut. So yeah. She's in a place of like early 2000s, late 90s, like Midwestern hair.
Yeah. It's not a haircut I've ever seen on somebody. I've never seen a haircut like that.
It's unique in that way.
It's unique in that way.
Katie tells Sandoval that she wants to be the maitre d' of their restaurant. I thought a maitre d' was only at places like white tablecloth, like really formal restaurants.
Yeah.
Like someone that's like, hello, like not a hostess, but also not a waiter, but like the greeter.
Schwartz and Sandy's.
Not Schwartz and Sandy's, like a psychedelic affair.
It does kind of sound like Musso and Frank's a little bit.
I think I could come around to Schwartz and Sandy's. I think if the decor matches the name somehow, yeah, there's a way in which that could work.
He wants to be the maitre.
The maitre d'. What does that mean, though, Katie? I don't know if she knows
with
what it
means.
With
that haircut?
Yeah, you're going to need to figure out a different haircut vibe if you want to give maitre d'.
Yeah.
No one wants to see that and be greeted by that haircut the first thing that they come
into
a restaurant.
No, they will think they're at Olive Garden.
Yeah, it's not okay.
Yeah.
It's like a church lady haircut.
Yeah. Raquel looks beautiful.
Yeah, she's always looked beautiful.
But her face doesn't move at all. It moves like the minimum amount that it needs to move to still be a face.
Completely frozen.
Yeah.
The fillers have settled.
She does look like I know that she has fillers, but it's not as obvious as like some of the other girlies. Mm-hmm. Like Ariana definitely has cheek filler and you can definitely see it.
I don't know if it's like it hasn't settled in yet or what the deal is, but definitely some of their fillers give me pause.
Yeah.
On my own filler.
Well,
journey.
Filler can like migrate in your face. They say it dissolves and it doesn't dissolve. It migrates.
It can migrate. It also, I found out that certain fillers can turn into nodules. Like certain fillers can react with, if you get like a really bad cold.
If you get the Moderna shot.
Or if you have like an autoimmune reaction, it can cause your fillers to just turn into nodules.
Well, that's why you couldn't get like the Moderna or like one of the vaccines if you had fillers.
Really?
Yeah, you weren't allowed to get one of the vaccines because they were like, it'll like fuck up your fillers.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't have filler at the time.
Yeah.
I don't have filler right now yet, but like,
thinking about it?
I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
I have like... I'm making plans and doing research.
Where do you want to get filler?
I'd probably do like a little under eye.
I feel that.
And maybe like a little, like very light amounts just to kind of lift everything.
Yeah.
Not the kind where you'd be like, oh, she got like cheek filler.
Well, that's the thing is like you get the pillow face. That's the Kylie Jenner effect.
Yeah,
get so much filler, it just moves around in your face.
I don't want that.
Yeah.
I just want it to be like, oh my God, you look like really snatched. Well rested and like you have and snatched, but you also like haven't aged since like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
What's your secret?
Yeah.
And like the kind of thing that if I were a liar, I'd be like, oh, I just drink a ton of water and got like 8 hours of sleep a night.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was
Jennifer Lopez saying she just uses olive oil.
Just rub some olive oil on that face.
Also, Caroline Calloway's snake oil potion where she mixes 10 different oils together and sells it for
$100. Have you bought her snake oil?
No.
Do you know anyone that's bought it?
No.
I feel like it's selling. It's flying off the shelf.
But like, I don't believe her. So who knows? But
yeah,
like,
she really spins a tall tale and you'll never know the truth.
But I think the whole thing about skincare these days is that everyone's using too many things. So I don't think like combining 25 oils is the move.
No, you got to pare it down.
Yeah.
To just very bare minimum.
Yeah.
And
but,
then
yeah,
like tweak as necessary.
Yeah. Raquel's going to look good when she gets older. She did a good job of freezing her face very young, and she really doesn't move her face at all, so she's not going to get any wrinkles.
Yeah, it's interesting to see Sheena's like face move at all post-pregnancy, because I think probably all your stuff wears off over that time because you can't get it. So I was noticing a lot more movement in her face when she was talking to Brock and stuff, and I was like, oh, I wonder how long that'll stick around or what. Also, yeah, Lala's face didn't, it's not like it went back to like a pre-baby face. It looks like she's just maintained. And I don't know if you can get filler and Botox when you're breastfeeding.
I don't think you can.
She's like formula.
Yeah.
Which is no shade on formula. Like, it's fine.
But if you can breastfeed, like, maybe you should. I don't know. I'm not a mother.
If I was going to choose between, like, getting my lips refilled and breastfeeding my child. Only child, I think I would choose my child.
Probably.
Yeah.
So Lala's like beefing with everybody at this event. She's beefing with Ariana and she's beefing with Raquel and she's beefing with Sheena.
Yeah.
Who does she beef with first?
She beefs with Sheena first. They go and have a talk and it's kind of touching. They both cry.
Yeah.
And Lala says that they'll never be able to get their like pregnancies back and experience that together, and she's grieving like the loss of that, but hopefully they can like move on.
Are they actually friends though? Like,
I don't know. I don't think she's actually friends with anyone that's left on the show.
Yeah.
I think maybe Katie.
Yeah.
But I think her friends are Brittany, Jax, Stassi, and Bo.
Yeah.
And so now she's just kind of plugged into this group whenever.
And she said that like, it was Sheena's miscarriage was really hard for her because she started getting a lot of hate online that affected her so much she worried it was going to affect Ocean. Which, like,
I don't think that's how it works.
What does that mean? Like, she was like, and she was sobbing about it, and she was like, you knew that like I was having Ocean and you sent me that hate mail. It's like, don't you always get hate mail? Like, what do you mean?
People can't like will you it's not like into a you miscarriage. Get a certain amount of hater comments saying I hope you miscarry, then you just miscarry.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's mean.
Yeah, like, and it's fucked up, but also turn your phone off.
Yeah, she was saying the stress from that made her worry about Ocean. And it's like, you're kind of just like taking away from Sheena's miscarriage at this point. Like,
there was a lot of miscarriage talk and like weaponizing of miscarriages.
Yeah.
Which I enjoyed.
Yeah.
And it's a power move, honestly.
And then they both cried. And when Lala came back to the table, she was crying more. And then Raquel decided that it was her job to comfort Lala.
But Raquel created beef out of nowhere.
She did.
She was like, I didn't know what I was going to get, but it seems like Lala's nicer now. And so she goes and talks to her.
While she's already crying.
Yeah. And I don't even remember what she really said, or just being like, it's nice to see you.
She was like, oh, like, you like used to like attack me a lot and like what did oh I'm trying to remember
she said
what she
it was
said.
Like it started really nicely and then she was like I'm sensitive
you're,
and then
you're
Lala was like
me.
Yeah, Lala was like, it's okay, like I like you a lot. And then Raquel goes, well, I don't care if you like me or not, which I think Raquel meant it as like, I've let go of that.
She said like, I've let go of like your opinion. And then Lala gets so mad. And she's like,
you don't
what
care?
The hell does that mean? And it's like, ooh, okay. And then she was like, I'll choose to take that nicely. And it was like, okay.
And she goes, next time I'm in a bad mood and I want to just fucking fuck with someone, I'll look at you and I'll decide not to do it. And I'll do it to someone else like Charlie.
Because you clearly can't handle it.
I was like, this is artful the way that you're insulting her by also saying you won't insult her in the future.
And then also in the like preview of the next episode, she does fight with Charlie. So it's like, you just did, you were like, I've decided I'm going to fight with Charlie now.
Yeah. For no real reason, except I guess that she's just like the lowest on the totem pole.
They did go back and show the like older videos where Lala was like, you're fucking stupid, Raquel. And Raquel has that glitter on her face. She's like, you're a fucking delusional idiot. And Raquel's just like standing there, like not knowing what to say.
Bambi, I bitch.
Yeah. Bambi, I. And but like Raquel, that was not the time to be like, it hurt my feeling. It's like, she's crying. Don't choose. And then she was kind of like patting her. Like,
yeah,
she
leave
didn't
her
know
alone.
How to... And then how did the beef with Ariana start?
Then, Lala made a comment. Oh, no, she said like, I'll just fuck with Charlie. And then Ariana
Like, oh, and Charlie was like, what? Why are you, what are you saying about me?
And then Ariana was like, or you could just fuck with me because you like talking shit about me on a podcast. She kind of hopped in. She was a little bit drunk.
Ariana was acting deranged.
Yeah, it was like, it was a bit psychotic.
She was like, na 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 na. Like, she like made some like weird noise like that. And she was like, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, what are you? Girl, you're like 30 years old. You don't need to be doing this. Like, also, like, I feel like she always acts like the one who's really stable and like she's the one who's like over it. And she was starting so much drama.
This was an unstable moment.
It was very unstable.
Because you can't, A, it's a losing battle if you're drunk trying to fight with a sober person.
Yeah.
It's just never going to look good. But this, too, I was like, this had elements of being cooped up COVID brain and alcohol then comes out in this way.
Ariana leapt out with the anger.
I would like to find a way to justify it because I really like Ariana, but it wasn't good.
No, it was she usually she doesn't act like that. That's why it was kind of shocking. She just started it out of nowhere. Everybody was deciding that they had to take out like their anger out on, well, like Lala was acting very like, I don't know, confrontational, but it was like everyone aired their beefs with Lala today, like at Sheena's birthday party with the magician there.
The magician who's like tying your ring to a balloon, but then it appears magically in a box.
And then like he's just sitting there packing up his magician materials and everyone's screaming at each other. Yeah, how did he do that?
I don't know. I need someone to like tell me the magician's secret.
Yeah.
There's also Sandoval, then Sandoval and Schwartz had their aside moment where Tom was just kept getting pissed at Katie. And I'm excited to see this play out because Katie just can't make me drum up any sympathy.
Yeah.
Like I find her to be like totally unsympathetic on TV. So it's fun when it just like she pisses people off.
What was she saying again?
She just said she wanted to be the maitre d' and then...
I don't even really know. Is that the person who stands at the front and like welcomes people? What is a or that's the person who goes to the tables and is like, how's everybody doing today?
It's like I don't know what I don't exactly know.
I can't imagine Katie standing that much, to be honest.
Like standing and like interacting with people in like a really friendly and outgoing way and like caring about their experience at Schwartz and Sandy.
Even when she worked at Sir, she would just like be like, here. Like she would just throw the stuff on the table. She was not.
I don't know how much I trust her in that role.
But Sandoval was mad that she wanted to be the maitre d'.
He's mad because she says she hates the name and she's like, and also Tom Schwartz hates the name. So she's like just swooping in to tell him. And then Schwartz comes in and there she's like, you have to get a name that you both like. And it just starts pissing Sandoval off.
Schwartz is always like hopping around in the background like a kid with ADHD. He definitely has ADHD. He's like very much like, and he's like kind of hiding behind Katie. And she's like, and Tom also doesn't like the name. And then she was like, you'll just come up with a name that will just stick with both of you and it'll really like land. And it's like, that does not always happen. Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
It might happen. I mean, I don't think that they should go with a name that one of them hates, but I also don't think that they should be in business long term together.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be like, I think Sandoval could absolutely easily do this on his own.
Schwartz is not a business.
Schwartz is a horrible business partner.
Yeah.
Someone that can't even have a conversation about like hard topics without fully melting down or they need their wife to like come to bat for them.
It's like, really true that Katie always has to come to bat for him.
I hate that. And I think it's going to really have a negative impact on their business endeavors.
I think that is kind of the key of their relationship is that like Tom is like a weak man who cannot advocate for himself or do anything on his own. And even though he might resent Katie for like being so controlling, like he can't survive without her. They have like a weird, like it's not symbiotic because it's not positive. Yeah, it's codependent. And
she, I guess, wants to feel needed. I don't know.
Yeah, she wants to feel in control.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what she's getting out of this relationship.
Like, definitely she comes home and she's like, we're having this for dinner. And he's just so relieved that he doesn't have to think of like, and she just like schedules things out for him. And I feel like he really appreciates someone telling him what to do every set. Like, he's just like an avatar. Someone needs to like tell him where to move and what to do.
It just must be that he's so hot that
he never learned how to do any. It was the basement.
Or just that it's gotten him this far. Because I don't think like an ugly guy could get this far.
Yeah, it is true that hot men don't really learn how to do anything for themselves.
Yeah, or they're just not as challenged.
But even like Jax, who's like not hot to me, but like an attractive man, like he's not as incompetent as Tom Schwartz. Like there's a fragility to Tom Schwartz that like he, like anything could break him, like any obstacle.
Anything.
Anything.
Even being like, catching him by surprise, like on the street, yeah, and being like, hi, oh my god, I haven't seen you in so long.
He'd be like,
what have you been up to? And he's like,
he's like, Katie, what do I say?
Yeah, you just like, have to run away.
Yeah, Katie is his keeper.
Mm-hmm. But Sandoval's like takes him aside and is like, this isn't gonna work for me, blah blah blah. And I was like, honey, buckle up, because this maitre d ain't going anywhere.
And what did Tom Schwartz say?
I don't know if he really said anything.
This might have been when my TV cut out, because it was really Hulu Live TV, I got it just yesterday so I could watch this episode, and it was quitting out on me and not allowing me to watch Vanderpump.
Hulu really has been shitting the bed. Yeah. So, like, there's so many commercials, you might as well just have cable. Well, I paid the most money you can possibly pay for Hulu and still have commercials.
Well, I thought in our society, we were past commercials.
I guess not.
Yeah.
Not in Hulu's world. Julia, thank you so much for being my first guest on the pod.
Thank you so much for having me.
Celebrating COVID being over and the launch of a new era of Vanderpump.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited to see where it goes. I do have hope that some drama is going to happen. I think Brock is going to be really promising as someone who's going to create drama. But I feel so honored that I got to be on the premiere.
I'm honored to have you. And tell everyone where they can find you and your podcast.
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram at Binge City. I also have a podcast called Binge-topia. It's like feminist social commentary. We just did an episode on beauty pageants, and we also did one on like women in STEM. We do all sorts of fun like historical and cultural things, and that's on Spotify and Apple and everywhere that you find podcasts. And yeah, if you're interested in that, come join us there.
I love it. Well, until next time, love and light.
Until next time.
Bye.
Bye. Ain't nobody got me feeling like